Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning, I want to talk to you real quickly in this Thanksgiving season. I want to ask you a question. What is your aptitude for gratitude? Now, your aptitude for something, the word aptitude simply means your natural reaction, your natural ability. Some people have their aptitude for a sport is really great. They're just naturally athletic. They're naturally hand-to-eye coordinated. Other people, they have a very high aptitude when it comes to communication. We all have different aptitudes for different things, but the question I'm asking today is, what is your aptitude for gratitude? Because I've discovered this in this season, it's very easy to get so fixated on what you can't do, what you don't have, what you used to be able to do, all these things, is you can live a life that is totally void of thanksgiving. You can live a whole life that we forget how much God has done for us, how God is still sustaining for us, and how God is providing for us right now. And Jesus is going to teach us a huge lesson today about the importance of gratitude. The importance of saying thank you, not just when your kids say thank you for reaching the cereal for them, but being truly living a lifestyle of thanks. And if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. Here's what the scripture says. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know of what kind of woman is touching him, for she is a sinner." Then Jesus answered his thoughts. How many like Jesus knows what you're thinking? Right? Simon didn't say a thing out loud, but he was thinking it. And Jesus answered his thoughts and said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Go ahead, teacher," he replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave both of them, canceling all their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? And Simon answered, "I suppose the one whom he canceled the larger debt." "That's right," said Jesus. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she's washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she's anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, though there are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown much love to me." And here's our main text this morning. For a person who's forgiven little shows only a little love. And then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." And the men of the table said, "Who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Father, we love you today, and I'm thankful for every person within the sound of my voice. Lord, whether they're in the room or watching online, or maybe they're listening to a podcast weeks from now, I'm thankful that your word is always right now. It's always right now the word we need to hear to do the work that's needed in our hearts and our lives. And I pray that right now that's exactly what will happen. You will do the needed work in our hearts and our lives, that you will birth in us a new level of gratitude, Lord, that is birthed from a love from you, which is birthed from a realization of how much you love us, how much you've done for us, how much you've forgiven us, how much you've set our feet on solid ground that we can have not just life, but life abundant. So, Lord, I pray this morning that you'll elevate me above my own ability to speak the words of God and the words of God alone. Help our ears to hear and perceive what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning as a church and individuals alike. And we'll give you thanks and praise. Everybody in the room said amen. So Jesus is invited to the home of a man named Simon, and Simon is a Pharisee. And if you're familiar with what a Pharisee is, most of the time in the Word of God, a Pharisee is someone who's presented as someone who has it together on the outside but is empty on the inside, right? They're kind of a shell of what they're supposed to be, but they're not really what they're supposed to be. And Simon is all about appearance. He's all about position. He's all about people's applause. And Jesus is starting to gain notoriety in his ministry. People are being healed. People are being, their lives are being transformed. And Jesus is teaching. People are impressed. He is sort of the up-and-coming person. And so Simon, this Pharisee, thinks, hey, I will invite Jesus to my house for a party. And even though he doesn't really have much concern or use for Jesus, he thinks, I'll use Jesus to elevate myself. See, that's what a Pharisee was all about. They really didn't have any use for Jesus unless they could use him for their own benefit. And so he invites him, and Jesus is there. And then all of a sudden, something happens. This woman, we just read about her. This woman walks in that is totally the opposite of Jesus, right? Simon wanted this meeting to be all about himself. But for this lady, whose name we don't really know, we're not really sure of, for her, she wanted this whole night to be about Jesus. She shows up. She's a woman of certain reputation. She has a past. Let me just ask a question without embarrassing anyone this morning. But how many of you would say, you know what, I've got a past too that I'm not too proud of, right? This woman had a very dark past. From all we know, she was probably a prostitute. But somewhere along the road, she had met Jesus before this night, and she'd had her life changed and her sins forgiven, and she didn't have anything else to do but to come and tell the Lord, Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for redeeming me. And so while Simon is too busy taking care of all these other things, we find this lady at the feet of Jesus worshiping him. And you may say, Pastor, why is this so important today? Because Jesus says this statement that has poked me and prodded me the last few weeks as we get ready. And here's what Jesus says. He says, for those who are forgiven much, love much. And we can look at Simon, we can think, how could Simon have the Son of God? How could Simon have Jesus in his house and not recognize who he is? And yet we have this lady who is worshiping him. She's not invited, but she recognizes him. I'll tell you why, because her aptitude for gratitude was higher. She realized who Jesus was, but more than that, she recognized what she had done for him. She saw her need for him. And when Jesus says the one who's been forgiven much loves much, by the way, he's not keeping score. And he's not looking at you saying, you know, Mark, your sin is a little bit worse than Terry's sin. Or you sinned 179 times, but she sinned 151 times, and so therefore you love me more than she does. No. It's actually not about the amount of sin or the type of sin or any of that. It's actually about your aptitude for gratitude. It's actually about this word. It's about our perception of ourselves and our perception of God. Do we realize how much God has set us free from? That's kind of the question of the day. And so maybe this morning, maybe you've had the thought. If you've had the thought, don't you don't have to admit it today, though I will admit I've had the thought before. Maybe you've had the thought that, you know, God, maybe, yeah, God saved me, but didn't save me from all that much. Careful, because that might have been Simon's response that day. I mean, on the outside, he had it all together. But his love for God, his love for Jesus, his aptitude for gratitude was missing. We see it when it's contrasted with this lady. And so this morning I want to ask you a few questions real quickly, how we can grow our aptitude for gratitude. How can we better understand what God has done for us? And Jesus sets the principle, the more we understand what he's done for us, the more we will love him, the more we will be devoted to him, the more we will not be able to help but just to express thanks and gratitude for what he's done. And so here's a few ways you can improve your aptitude for gratitude this morning. These are all in question form. Here's the first question this morning I have to ask you is, have you recognized the grossness of your sin? Now, I know that's not an attractive question this morning, but in verse number 39, the Pharisee Simon, when she saw this lady, he looked at her, and here's what he said. Think about what he said. He said, if Jesus were any sort of prophet at all, if he were any sort of teacher at all, he would recognize the grossness of the sin of the woman who was touching him. In this moment, Simon has this innate ability to recognize the sin of others without recognizing the sin of himself. Have you ever noticed it's easier to see the grossness of someone else's sin than it is to see the grossness of your sin? You know what the worst sin in the world is? The sin someone else does. That's how most of the world perceives sin. It's what someone else has done. It can't be what I'm doing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, why do you look at a speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye when there's a plank in your own eye? In your own eye, Jesus is saying, he's asking Simon to realize, hey, that this woman, though you may look at her as gross, you may look at her as disgusting, you may look at her as a person who has sinned this sin that is so incredible that it could never be forgiven. Jesus says, listen, I see her differently. I see her as clean. I see her as redeemed. I see her as forgiven. I see her as a daughter of God. I see her as a sister in Christ. I see her as someone who I'm going to die for, who I'm going to redeem, and who I'm going to use for my kingdom. I'll never forget years ago, and as far as I know, this video doesn't exist, and I'm so thankful for it. Years ago, about, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years ago, time flies when you're having fun, but a long time ago, I went and I took my very first golf lesson. I mean, I didn't hardly know what side of the club to hit. I mean, I didn't know anything at all, but I was working for a pastor who loved golf, and my ambition in life was to be able to beat my pastor at golf, and so I started taking golf lessons so I could learn how to beat my pastor, and I went and my very first golf lesson, the golf pro let me hit like 4 or 5 golf balls, and he said, I'll be right back, and he went inside the clubhouse, he came back, and he had one of those old school, I mean, smartphones weren't out yet. He had one of those old school camcorders like you had to put on your shoulder. You remember those? And he begins to video record me hitting golf balls for about 5 or 10 minutes. Then we walk inside the clubhouse. He takes the tape out of the camcorder, puts it in the VCR, and we begin to watch my golf swing on video. And he begins to point out to me all the things I'm doing wrong. And I'll never forget, he said, Greg, I videotaped you and I brought you inside to show you this because if I didn't show it to you, you would never believe me by telling you how bad you really are. You know, and that's kind of where this Sir Simon was. He had no problem seeing the grossness of someone else's sin, but he had a hard time seeing the grossness of his sin. See, her grossness was what we would call a sin of commission, right? It was all the gross things she'd done, how she'd sold herself and used herself and all these other things. But Simon's sin was a little bit different. His was not just a sign of commission, it was a sign of omission. For him, it was all the right things he knew to do, but he didn't do, right? He knew he was supposed to be hospitable towards Jesus. He knew he was supposed to honor Jesus, even if he wasn't the Son of God. There's all these things he'd left undone because of his pride, his ambition. And sometimes we have an easier time of seeing what other people are doing wrong instead of seeing the good things we lack doing ourselves. He had no problem seeing the grossness of someone else. He had a big problem seeing the grossness of his own sin. And we really don't know if Simon ever came to know Jesus or not. We don't know if this, when the lady walked away and Jesus said, peace be to her, if Simon grabbed Jesus on the way out the door or pulled him in a corner somewhere and said, hey, tell me what I got to do to have life and life eternal. We don't know what happened, but I just got a feeling of someday if Simon would have ever given his heart to Jesus and he looked back on this night, Simon would say a few things particular. I believe he would, number one, he would say this, I was so blind to the presence of Jesus. He would probably say, I was so spiritually blind that I couldn't see the Savior of the universe was in my house. I was so spiritually blind, I couldn't even see my own sin. You know, sometimes we think, well, Pastor, you know, my sin my sin really isn't that bad. Especially when you compare it to someone else's sin. But you know, James chapter 2 says that the person who keeps all the law except for one is as guilty as the person who has broken all of God's laws. I want to read that to you again. It's just kind of a snap that's in the reality this morning. It says, for the person who keeps all the laws except for one is just as guilty as the person who's broken all the laws. In other words, the grossness of the sin of other people that we see, that's just exactly how gross our own sin is. Simon could see her sin. He just couldn't see his sin. He couldn't see the presence of Jesus. He couldn't see that there was a better way to life than the way he was trying to manipulate his way into. He didn't understand that this moment where Jesus was in front of him was a moment to discover life and to serve God and to serve Jesus. He was blind to all those things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here's what the word says, that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, we all have equal need of grace, but we all have a different awareness of our need for that grace. I'll never forget when I was a kid, I was at a youth camp, and this guy came in and he gave his testimony. And I just want you to imagine what the worst testimony on earth could be as far as a person's lifestyle. And that would be a good start on this guy's story, on how he'd been down this road and how he'd made mistake after mistake and wasted his life. And of course, at the end of the story, he talks about how God redeemed him, how God saved him. And of course, he gets done telling his testimony, and everyone applauds at the power of God, how God has set him free. And I was sitting there in my chair, and I'll never forget the thought I had. I thought, wow, I wish I had a testimony like that. But did you know it takes the same grace to save someone from pride as it does pornography? Did you know it takes the same grace to free a prostitute as it does a hard-hearted religious person? It takes the same grace to free the one who's cheated on their taxes as it does to free the one who's cheated on their spouse. We all have an awesome need of God's grace. We all have to see the grossness of our own sin. This woman needed forgiveness. She knew that, and so she came to Jesus. Simon needed forgiveness, but he didn't see it. He didn't know it. He didn't know that Romans would say one day in chapter 3, verse 23, that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we're justified freely, not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God. And how many know what you're supposed to do when someone gives you a gift? You're supposed to say thank you, right? And this woman, she shows up and she's telling thanks to God. And 1 Timothy chapter 1 says this, is the Apostle Paul. He says, here's a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. I'm so thankful that the Apostle Paul, once he got saved on the road to Damascus, once he began to build churches, and even he was so true to Christ that he was persecuted in prison, he never forgot where God brought him from. He never forgot what Jesus saved him from. He says, whom I was the foremost sinner of all. No amount of God's goodness ever caused him to forget how far God had brought him. Our attitude, our aptitude for gratitude begins when we understand the grossness of our sin, whether that sin is in the past or the present, but it also continues, here's point number two, when we realize the greatness of the grace we've received. Look at verse number 37. It says, when a certain immoral woman heard that he was eating there, she brought her beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. She knelt down behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet. She wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and pouring perfume on them. Simon was in the presence of grace, or in the presence of Jesus, and he didn't see it. This woman realized the greatness of grace that was present, and she couldn't help but come to him. One person said that sorrow might move you to tears, but gratitude will move you to expression. Sorrow might make you cry, but gratitude will make you serve. Sorrow might make you regret, but gratitude will make you get off your hind end and say, God, as for me and my house, we're going to serve you, because you're the one that leads me into triumph and to victory every single time. This woman didn't just sit in a corner somewhere, sorrowful for her past. She was grateful that God had set her free, and therefore she moved. She understood, this is great grace that I've received. See, poor Christian living, and I don't want to get judgmental or point fingers at people, but it seems like we have a plague of poor Christian living today. Pastor, what do you mean by that? What I mean is there's people that identify as Christ's followers, but in their lifestyle are not following Christ. You pick up what I'm putting down? And poor Christian living is a result of poor recognition of the greatness of God's grace that we've received. This lady walks in, and she walks in to give a prized possession, a valuable possession. Some scholars say this oil she pours out, it could have been worth a year's wages. So I don't want you to get that idea that she walked in with a $100 bottle of perfume from Dillard's. No, this lady walks in with something. I don't know how much you make in a year, but you take what that number is, and that's about how much this perfume is worth that she walks in. She's walking in with thousands of dollars, and she pours it out on the feet of Jesus because she understands that the grace that she's received cannot compare to anything found on planet Earth. Neither does the grace you've received. He is worth it all. I'll never forget when I was a kid, my dad was teaching me how to use cologne for the first time. Right? And he would tell me, now, son, it doesn't take a bunch. Right? So he'd give me the bottle and in the air, psh, just, you know. You just spritz. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God didn't spritz his grace on us. Amen? Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. Abundantly. He didn't spritz us with the grace, but he soaked us in the grace of God. He covered us in the grace of God. So when people encounter us, they encounter him. It's the abundance of God. Romans chapter 5 reminds us that where sin abounded, what? That grace much more abundantly abounds. She recognized that though her past was dark and her sin was great, the grace of God was greater, and the grace of God moved her to gratitude. God, help us as a church this morning to realize the grace of God and let that move us to gratitude this season. Amen? I don't know about the plight of your life today, but here's what I know. His grace is more than sufficient to sustain you, transform you, forgive you, and give you a new future today. What's the third way we raise our aptitude for gratitude? Here's the third way. You ask yourself this question: am I giving my best to him? Verse number 46, I just alluded to it. Jesus told Simon, when I walked in the door, I mean, he'd walked, some people say he'd walked 21 miles to get to Simon's house. So if anybody was in need of a good foot washing, it was Jesus. He was tired, he was dusty, he was dirty. And Jesus reminds Simon, hey, listen, the least you could have done was wash my feet. The least you could have done was given me some olive oil, which olive oil in that place in those days, it was valuable, but it was also very common. It wasn't like you were giving up a whole lot by giving someone some olive oil to put on their head or anoint them to try to cover up the smell of the travel. And Jesus begins to point out to Simon, listen, you didn't do the very least. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't give me anything. Why didn't Simon give anything? Why? Because in Simon's life, he thought he was the star. In the woman's life, she knew Jesus was the star. Amen? It's a difference. So am I doing, the question goes back, am I doing the best I can for Jesus? This woman, she walked in, not with olive oil, that's very common. Jesus said, she walked in and she has anointed my feet. You didn't even anoint my head, but she's anointed my feet with rare, costly perfume. You know, she had to go, she had plenty of reasons why not to do what she was doing. You know, Mark Batterson, I like what he said in one of his books. He said, if you're not willing to look foolish, then you're foolish. And he says, and that's why many people have never built an ark, killed a giant, or walked on water. Because we choose to do what is safe and comfortable rather than giving our best. And along this lady's journey to Jesus that night to pour out that costly bottle of perfume, to anoint his feet, to give him a little bit of relief from the stress of life for this one meal, to express her gratitude on her way to that meeting that night. There was many of reasons why she shouldn't do what she was about to do. I mean, after all, she was uninvited. Right? How many know you usually don't go to a party you're not invited to? And for her to go to such a place, she knew would welcome the scrutiny. She had the risk of being rejected. She had the risk of being asked to leave before she could even get in. She was going to do something for Jesus. She was going to meet a need in his life that shouldn't even be there to be met. Right? There shouldn't be a need for expensive perfume to be anointed on his feet. There should not be any need of him to have his feet washed or cleansed. That's something that would be automatically taken care of in any environment. But she laid aside the thought that it might be rejected or it might be needed. She also laid aside the idea that I can't give this to the Lord. This is too costly for me. I might need this later. I might regret when I'm surrendering to him. How many discovered this morning you never regret what you surrender to the Lord? Amen. But she came and she gave it anyway. She poured it out on him anyway. She dismissed all of her excuses for not giving her best. How many of you realize there's a difference between when you give someone your best and you give them leftovers? Mother's Day this year, just a few months ago, the very first Sunday we'd been back from COVID-19, and it was Mother's Day, and we gave all the moms that were here this day that day flowers. Some of you moms might remember that. I don't remember if they were roses or what. I just remember we had some left over. And so if you were one of the last moms to leave that day, we were like starting to hand them out instead of by the ones. We were having them by twos and threes, just trying to get rid of them. And after we'd been as generous as we could be, trying to get people to take them home, there were still some roses left over. And so I thought, I will take them home for Megan. So I took the roses, I got them together, I took them home, and I gave them to her. And in the moment I was giving them to her, I felt a little bit sheepish. I mean, they were pretty, and she said thank you, and she trimmed them and put them in a vase or a vase, and they looked amazing. But she knew, and I knew, that they were not their expression of thought, right? It's not like I got up that Sunday morning and went out of my way to buy her a bouquet of flowers. It's not like I actually took my wallet out of my hand and gave of myself to give her something expensive. The gift was the same. I've given her flowers before then and after them, and the flowers I gave her before them and after them actually had more significance to me and to her than the flowers I gave that day, because the flowers I gave that day were what? They were leftovers. Let me ask you this question this morning. Are you giving God your best, or are you just giving him leftovers? You know the difference, and so does he. You know, the King David, when he was getting ready to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the city, he wanted to build an offering to celebrate and to sacrifice before the Lord. In 2 Samuel, it writes of how when he got ready to he needed some wood to build an altar, and he told the guy who owns the wood, he said, "Let me pay you for your threshold, and let me purchase that and make an altar and sacrifice and worship the Lord." And the guy said, "Hey, don't buy it from me. Let me just give it to you." Remember that story? And King David said these words that stay in my mind ever since I read them the first time years ago. He says, "I will not give that to the Lord which costs me nothing." He was saying, "I'm not going to give God my leftovers." What if I give an offering to God, I want it to be an offering of gratitude. I want it to be an offering that signifies that, God, you are valuable to me. You are meaningful to me. You are worth everything to me. And when that lady cracked open that alabaster box of perfume that was worth a year's wages, she was not giving leftovers. She was not giving out of comfort or convenience. She was saying, "Lord, you are worth everything to me." Her aptitude of gratitude was piqued because Jesus said, "The one who had been forgiven much loves much." Let me ask you today, how much have you been forgiven? How much? Well, Pastor, I really wasn't that bad before I got saved. I hate to burst your bubble, but you're worse than you thought you were. Right? Your best day wasn't as good as you thought it was. Am I hurting somebody's feelings today? Because you're being really, really quiet. I don't know if I'm hurting your feelings, but I'm helping you this morning. Because listen, this is so important. Jesus says, "The one who's forgiven much loves much." Until you have a recognition of how much God has forgiven you and saved you from, you're never going to love him like you should love him. But the moment you understand what God has saved you from and delivered you from and delivered you to, when you understand the greatness of his grace, can I tell you, friends, you don't have to work another day trying to love God more. Because when you think about his goodness and what he's done for you, there's going to be something that erupts from the inside out that says, "Let me love Jesus today. Let me serve Jesus today. Let me give my best, though it cost me everything." We need our aptitude for gratitude to rise because it's birthed out of our love for our Savior, and our love for our Savior is birthed out of our recognition of his grace and forgiveness for us. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning all across this room. There's two questions I want to ask this morning. Number one, the first question is this: have you allowed Jesus to forgive you of your sin? Have you seen the grossness of your sin? Now, just like my golf instructor who took a video of my golf swing to show me how bad my swing was, the job of the Holy Spirit is a job that only he can do. The Holy Spirit, his job is he's going to show you a picture of yourself. And when he shows you that picture, you're going to see things that didn't bother you before. You're going to see a need for God you didn't know you had before. And friends, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because the moment you see what you didn't see before, you can be free of what you didn't know you held captive before. And so right now, the Lord is showing you things that you need forgiveness of. He's showing you things you need free from. He's showing you things that you need to be captive or be loose from captivity from this morning. He's not showing you those things to condemn you. He's showing you those things because he wants to free you. He wants to free your life, forgive your sin, let you taste the greatness of his grace this morning. So this morning, you say, "Pastor, I just sense the Spirit of God. He's showing me myself fresh and new this morning. He's just reminding me of my great need of him, that I am a sinner in need of grace. And today I need to accept that fresh and new." Maybe you've been running from it. Maybe you've been denying it. And you've You would let the denial of your past keep you from the present life that God has for you, the abundant life God has for you today. You say, Pastor, I just sense the Holy Spirit's exposing myself to me today so that I can experience freedom, forgiveness, a life with Him. If that's you today, would you just lift a hand real quick and say, that's me, Pastor. Pray for me today. Include me in a prayer. Amen. 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 Secondly, this morning, in just a minute, I'm going to ask us to stand. I'm going to pray for those who lifted their hands saying they need to commit their life to Christ fresh and new today. But at that same moment when we stand, I would like for the rest of us, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to stand, lift your hearts to the Lord. Maybe you want to lift your hands to the Lord and just surrender. And just begin to give God thanks. Fresh and new. Say, Lord, thank you for the grace. Thank you for the greatness of your grace. And let's make sure this morning we're not giving God in any area of our life our leftovers, but we're giving Him our very, very best. So I want to pray for those who lift their hands. And then I'm done. I want us to all stand and worship at the end of this prayer and just dedicate ourselves to giving God our best. Father, I thank you for those who lifted their hands this morning. I thank you, Lord, that 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, reminds us that if we will confess our sins, that you are faithful to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. Lord, I thank you this morning that beyond the words of a preacher, the voice of the Holy Spirit has spoken to the lives and hearts this morning. You've shown us video footage of our need for you this morning. You've showed us our own personal sin. But more than that, Lord, you've shown us the greatness of your grace that's available to us this morning. And so I pray this morning as those who are choosing today to let you eradicate their sin, to free them from their past and give them a brand new future and a brand new hope, that in just a moment as we rise to worship, that they'll worship too, knowing that their sins are forgiven, that they've passed from death to life when they've chosen to follow you. I give you thanks and praise for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Church, let's all stand together right now. And why don't you lift up your hearts and your hands to the Lord. And don't give Him your leftovers today. Why don't you give Him your very best in a moment of worship and prayer. Father, we love you today. And we just surrender our all fresh and new to you this morning. And we give you thanksgiving, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, thank you for rescuing us from the pit and the mire of our past. Lord, thank you for setting us free. Thank you for giving us a new name that's found in the name in your book of life. Thank you, Lord, for calling us by that name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Thank you for making us sons and daughters of God, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Lord, thank you that you've rescued us and you've freed us and you've redeemed us today. Father, forgive us today when you've given you anything less than our very best because you deserve it all. You deserve it all, Father. So this week, Lord, outside of the Thanksgiving season that we celebrate as a nation, help us to be celebrating Thanksgiving as the people of God who are, Lord, we're born again, we're redeemed, we're set free, we've been bought with a price, we're living for the Lord. Our future is secure and our present is sustained by the power of God. And we give you thanks for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap for His word today? We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.